Welcome to our AGMD Parent Telephone Internet Community Support Group. We are just thrilled that you are here. Please feel free to jump in with and join in the conversation, share your experiences, your frustrations, your questions, your concerns, or if you prefer just to listen, we have an expert mom who is helping to facilitate this program, and that's Carrie. Go ahead.
This is Carrie. I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I try.
Well, with all you've dealt with, you can certainly talk on many issues being a parent.
Yeah.
With a child with chronic digestive motility disorders. So I just wanted to preface for those who aren't familiar with AGMD. First of all, my name is Mary Angela DeGracia DiTucci. I'm a longtime patient with multiple digestive motility disorders, as well as other diseases that may be related, may not be, we may never know. Where it was Mother's Day yesterday, I just want to start off by saying that whether your child was born with a digestive motility disorder, or whether your child became ill when he or she was growing up, whether your child is a baby, or whether your child is in its 60s, it's a turn of events that happens that is always fluid and forever impacts your child as well as the lives of those in the family, never to be the same. And what I noticed is that through all the tears, fears, and questions and frustrations, there are those victories, the laughter, that peace, and that joy, and those are the ones that we hold on to and treasure. All of these create the makings of such strength, courage, and perseverance, faith, and hope. And where yesterday was Mother's Day, I just want to continue not only on the official Mother's Day, but each and every day to honor especially all the moms of those who have a child with a chronic illness and specifically digestive motility disorders. Throughout these years, I've seen that all brokenness, but I've also seen the lion that comes out in most moms. And I just can't say enough about how much you are respected and honored from this organization and me personally. And I'd like to thank you all for coming. Carrie, do you want to say anything about that, or would you like to talk about some of the other issues, or do you want to open it up to some questions or comments that some of the parents may have at this particular moment?
This is Carrie, and I don't care however we want to do it. If there's some questions that people have, or I had a good Mother's Day yesterday for the most part. It was a typical day, and I didn't have to make dinner, so that was a bonus. But
that's good.
Okay, Carrie, yeah, pretty normal day.
Beforehand, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and about your son, Weston? And for those who are unaware, Carrie is going to be featured on our radio show, which is taking place at 12 o'clock today. That's Eastern Daylight Time. So, Carrie, explain a little bit about your background and experience, and then we can go from there.
This is Carrie again, and my son is 7 and a half, and he was born with GI issues. We didn't know what they were until he was quite a bit older, but he has had several different GI issues since birth. Like when he was born, he had malabsorption syndrome, couldn't absorb foods or, you know, formula, breast milk. We had to change multiple times and finally did Neocate, which is already broken down, so he didn't have to break anything down. He just had to absorb it. And then we thought the issues went away, and he was eating normally. He was growing normally. He just never pooped normally. And the doctors would tell me it was normal for him to go a week at a time, and he was on Miralax from the time he was 9 or 10 months old until he was about 3 and a half. And that's kind of when I put my foot down and was like, no, this isn't okay. And we got his first x-ray when he was 3 and a half. And the doctor, the ER doctor, kept telling me, there's nothing in there. He's not constipated. His tummy is soft. He's not constipated. And I said, well, please just do the x-ray. Prove it to me, because he hasn't went in like 8 days. I did an enema. It says right on the box that if it doesn't produce, to bring them to the ER. So that's what I'm doing. So I need you to just look. And he came back in and said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Get him to the emergency room, the children's, immediately. And so that's what we did. And we've been on medicines and trying to make him poop ever since. He's had motility testing down in – we live in Michigan. So we had to go to Ohio to Nationwide Children's Hospital. And they have a motility center there, and he had his third anal rectal manometry there, actually his second and third. His first one he had here at our home hospital, but it was done in an adult center, so it wasn't accurate. So once we had that done, and then we did the colonic manometry as well. At the same time, we did discover that, you know, he does have colonic dysmotility and rectal dysmotility. He also has GERD. So we just kind of go with the flow and give medicines and do treatments and procedures until they don't work and adjust as necessary. And actually today we are headed back to Nationwide. Down in Ohio to see the motility NP down there and discuss what our next treatment options are, because he's on multiple different medicines, laxative stimulants in double and triple adult doses. And we actually just did his 11th weekend of cleanouts, and we're doing daily meds, and he's still backed up. Even though he does go most days, he's still backed up. So we're going to try and find a different option.
Can you talk
to help him feel better? And
yeah, you mentioned anorectal manometry, and can you describe that a little bit more for anybody who has a child that may be needing to undergo that? What is the procedure like? What does the child have to go through? What is the prep involved, and all that good stuff?
Well, for the anal rectal manometry, you have to do a clean out and make sure their, you know, bowels are cleaned out, which for us takes a lot. And unfortunately, NG tube clean outs with Polygo Lightly do not work with him. So we usually, when we do big cleanouts, we do lots and lots of magnesium citrate and all his other daily meds, and usually end up having to do enemas and suppositories as well. But what they do is they're awake for this procedure. The first one, like I said, was done at an adult center, and it was horrendous. He literally screamed and flailed the entire time. So it was inaccurate. And then once we went to Nationwide and did the second and third one, what they do is the kids are awake. They have them lay there, and they have a tube that it's a really small tube, probably the size of like your phone charger cord. And it has a balloon on the end of it. And what they do is they insert it into their rectum. And it can either be just filled with air or filled with water. And what they do is they blow it up slowly to see, you know, what they feel, when they feel it, what the threshold is for how much can be in that area. And it can tell whether the muscles down there are relaxing properly. They'll have them like try and hold it in, and then they'll have them like try and push, like they're trying to have a bowel movement. And that gives them readings on a computer screen and shows them, you know, whether it does relax or doesn't relax, whether they're feeling it when it's full or not. Like with Weston, his puborelactis muscle, which is the muscle down in that area that has to relax in order to let stool out. His doesn't relax very well. So it, even though, like, he, you know, we get the stool soft and stuff, it just, it doesn't want to come out because that muscle won't relax. And then with the colon, his dysmotility is actually in his sigmoid. So you have what's called high amplitude contractions throughout your GI system, and that pushes the food and the stool forward. And unfortunately, his goes and works just fine until he gets down to that sigmoid colon, and then it doesn't, there's not that high contraction. So when you normally have that high contraction in the sigmoid, it signals to the rectum like, hey, I'm full and I need to open up. Well, his doesn't do that. So it doesn't signal that it's full, and it doesn't relax to open up.
Wow.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect. It's just heart-wrenching to know that a child has to go through that, as well as, you know, the family. Anybody want to jump in and say anything about what Carrie has talked about or want to share their experience? Not yet. We have a little quiet bunch, but that's all right. So tell me a little bit about how Weston, he's how old now?
He's 7 and a half.
7 and a half.
And we did his first anal rectal manometry was done when he was almost 4. And then when we went to Nationwide, he was almost 6. By the time we got there, because it takes a while to, you know, prove that it's necessary, that they need the testing and, you know, whatnot like that. So insurance approvals and all that good stuff. It took a while to get there.
How does he now, because he's already had one, so with each test and with every crisis where he ends in the hospital, how does he adjust? Does he cry, scream, get angry, or does he just become passive at this stage?
Well, we haven't had to have any manometry testing since we were at Nationwide, because here in our home state, they don't have, like I said, they have the anal rectal manometry, but they don't have any of the other manometry testings. So he doesn't have... he hasn't had to have any of those types of testings done. He's had x-rays, which he doesn't, he's had so many tummy x-rays, like it's no big deal. It's just another picture. Like he doesn't really worry about that. Blood draws, on the other hand, is another story. He cannot stand getting his blood drawn. He gets very frantic and he cries and he gets a little bit aggressive, honestly. He and usually takes it out on me because, you know, I'm mom.
Right, of course. I mean, that it's no matter what age the child, it always seems, or the person, the patient in general, it always seems that they take out their frustration and fears on the loved ones. And
yes.
I always say, because I'm a long-time patient, as I indicated, and I always preface my husband saying, this isn't about you, so don't get upset. You're standing right there, and you're in my target, because it's my frustration with myself and my illness. And
right.
How we've worked it out all these years, and he's been wonderful about it, but you always hurt the one you love, in a sense, for this type of thing. And I attributed that to because they feel comfortable. We feel comfortable with those that we love, comfortable enough that we can just share all of this. And sometimes fear comes out in anger, and frustration comes out in anger. And so I can certainly understand. It can be very hurtful for the parent. But I can certainly understand why Weston lashes out. Now, through all of this, you have certainly changed as a mom whereas you waited that time until finally you found your voice and started saying, well, there's something definitely wrong. And then you become a big advocate for him as well as motility disorders. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I for a long time, like I said, for years, they kept telling me, three and a half years, kept telling me, it's normal for him to only go once a week. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal. His tummy wasn't hard. It didn't get hard like you would think. And so they would feel his tummy and they're like, no, there's nothing in there. And all the while there obviously was, because when he was first, when they first did the first x-ray, he had mega rectum, like his colon, his sigmoid colon and his rectum were so stretched, which I believe has went down since we've been on better regimens. But it was so stretched, so it just kept filling and filling and filling. But he was on Miralax, so his stools were never hard. Like, I go by the Bristol stool chart. I don't know, Mary Angela. Do you know what that is?
Oh, definitely. In fact, we've had it in
okay.
too. So it has those pictures of all the different types of stool and what the indicators could be for that.
Yeah, and he will be a four, or less. So like a four, which is a normal, shouldn't be hard to push out or anything. His normal for him is like a 5-6, sometimes even a 7, and like it's still not coming out. So like sometimes he has liquid stool that just doesn't come out. I think once that doctor came in and was like, oh my gosh, he needs to clean out like now. I just kind of was, I was mad. I was so mad because I had so many pediatricians, two different GIs, tell me nothing was wrong. And I don't want to say that I don't trust doctors, but now I question everything. I question everything. And over the years, since we started Weston's World in March of 2016, and we have met before this, we had never heard of colonic dysmotility. We had never heard of rectal dysmotility. We had never heard of a motility disorder, period. And we started meeting people after I started the Weston's World. I had moms reaching out like, hey, my son has this. Hey, my daughter has this, or it's similar to this, or, and it really, it really helped Weston, and it really helped myself to see that, like, oh my gosh, there are other people that have this, or struggling with similar things. And I just think that a lot of times, people, the doctor says, oh no, you're okay, and people and parents like myself are like, okay, and they were wrong. They were dead wrong, and I was mad, and I wanted to make it so that that did not happen with other kids. And so I hope that by advocating and, doing the stuff with Weston's World and doing stuff with AGMD and IFSGD and, like, our we got a proclamation for August is FGIMD Awareness Month here in Michigan, and we've even come across people here in Michigan that, have these disorders. And I think it's really important to push and advocate for your kid, and because it's not going to get better. It just progressively gets worse if there's no treatment.
You do find your voice. It's amazing how you do find your voice. I just want to alert people that if you are, especially on a cell phone, sometimes you can hear background noise. So we recorded dogs barking. We recorded all good stuff. But just be mindful that if you have your television on or anything else, that we will be getting dual sound. And so if you could just be aware of that, that would be great. Anybody want to ask any questions or jump in or talk about something that is bringing them here today that they're concerned about?
I could jump in. My name is Julie Williams. I haven't been on in a while. I have, hi, how are you? Sorry, I have background noise, but only while I'm talking. I've been putting it in mute when I'm not talking, so hopefully it's not too bad. I did think I would be able to make this call because I was supposed to do something, and then my son had a fever, and I think he has strep, so I got to take him later today. And so I was like, oh, I'm home, and I'm dreading it because strep, I don't know if anybody else has had this. I have two things I want to ask. One is that strep seems to just kick us off our butt and it brings the symptoms back and it makes it worse, because we had in January and December, he had two rounds of strep, and then we went for like 3 months where it was like super symptomatic, you know, where the medicines weren't helping as much. He had a lot of reflux, and then it kind of calmed down, and now I'm like, great, we have strep again, fantastic. But the other thing is that I totally get what, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking. Was it Carrie? Carrie?
Carrie.
Yeah, yep. I was just saying about the frustration, because I go through the same thing, and we have the same thing where our stools are normal. Now, he'll go every day, and it'll be normal, but if you take an x-ray, he'll be full. And so they'll say, well, did he go today? And you're like, well, yes, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, it's kind of like the whole thing is full, and it doesn't really matter. And we have trouble because the Miralax doesn't really do it. It's like it was too much or too little or too loose, or it just didn't work. So we ended up going to Amitiza. But what's weird is that lately, so he was diagnosed with gastroparesis from an anteroduodenal manometry test, where like there was the contractions were like basically minuscule in his stomach. And then the colonic stuff has just never been an actual, we did the anal rectal test, which was negative, but we've never done a colonic dysmotility test. Dr. Flores has always felt that like if the medicine failed, like if the Amitiza failed, that was the next step, but in his mind, it hasn't failed yet. So, but we just went for a gastric empty study last week locally, and it was normal. And I'm just like, so Dr. Flores called me. He's like, well, maybe the gastroparesis is gone. And I'm like, okay, but how does that explain the fact that the kid still won't eat things and he's in pain? And so I guess my question is, has anybody else ever had conflicting results or things where you're like, how do you make sense of that? It's like, how do you make sense of the fact that the one study that showed the contractions and all that showed that nothing was working and he was resistant, like erythromycin didn't cause a contraction, nothing, versus like a normal stomach empty test? Like, so that's my big question.
This is Carrie, and we haven't dealt with gastroparesis that I know of. He has showed symptoms of it before, but we've never had testing for that. But a very good friend of ours, she was first diagnosed with gastroparesis, and her they did find out eventually that her gastroparesis was caused by colonic dysmotility.
That's what I've wondered. That's exactly what I've wondered, is if the stuff is backing up, does it almost like a almost like a plumber.
Absolutely.
Like almost like almost like a plumber. You know, because I wondered that.
When her colonic, like she has colonic dysmotility and rectal dysmotility.
Okay.
And when she's full, her gastroparesis symptoms come back.
I can't tell you how glad I am to hear that, not because I'm glad that these kids go through this, but that's exactly what's been in my head, because I'm like, and it's so annoying, because you say it's frustration. Like, I had this, like, you know, for anybody who knows Dr. Flores, I love him to death, but he talks at a mile a minute, and you literally can't, you know, Mary Angela knows this. Like, it's like, you know, you have to, like, brace yourself and hold on and just, like, you know, you wish you could have a recorder that slowed it down. And he's just like, well, you know, remember I said sometimes people get better, sometimes people stay the same, sometimes blah, 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 you know, this. Nope, maybe the gastroparesis is gone. He's like, so, all good. And, like, he hangs up, gets off the phone. And it's like, okay, all good? Wait a second. I have a kid who, when he eats, still at times then gets on the floor and lays on the floor because his stomach hurts. Like, so not really all fine, or we've been having a lot of accidents, like stool accidents, and I don't think he feels it. I don't think he feels that it's full, and then all of a sudden he has such urgency that then he can't get there in time. And so they're like, oh, well, so one thing they want to do is biofeedback. Not Dr. Flores, but somebody else suggested that. And by the way, we've been doing acupuncture, which I don't know if anybody else has ever tried, but we're finding it actually really helpful and doing a lot of, like, really actually helping Harry. And they recently changed to something called these acupuncture seeds, where they do the needle, but then they put this, like, small looks almost metal, but I don't think it is, on the spot, and they tape it on, and then you leave it for like 24 hours, so you get more advantage of the acupuncture. So you sort of open the site, but then you continue to put pressure on the site where the needles were.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, just as a side note, if anybody, we found the acupuncture has been really helpful, and these seeds are great because you just get longer. You know, a kid's not going to sit for 6 hours with a needle in there, but they can get the benefit of longer periods of time. And so we just have a great homeopath we've been working with. But that makes, but it's like, that's where the frustration is, because you're like, as a parent, you're like, no, something's not right. Like, okay, great, this test showed that the gastroparesis was okay. But at the same time, I'll say to Harry, do eggs ever bother you? No. Like, eggs never cause him pain or trouble or anything. So it's like, and I know that's the standard test, but it's like, well,
it is.
Maybe the issue isn't really, like, I keep thinking the issue was, and we had this issue where when they put him on domperidone for the stomach, he would be doubled over in pain. And I finally said to Dr. Flores, like, do you think that it's backing up? Do you think, like, it's working, but now it's backing up in the colon? And so he was like, oh, maybe. So he had put him on, at that time, put him on Miralax, and all of a sudden we could handle the domperidone. So it does go to this whole theory that it's like plumbing, where once it gets backed up.
It is. Yeah.
You know, and
absolutely.
So that's interesting that your friend, do you know, where does your, do you mind me asking where they go? For their treatment?
They actually go, they live in New York, so their home doctor is in Boston, but they go to Nationwide Children's. Their Dr. DeLorenzo is their doctor. Yeah.
Okay.
We actually...
Because we live in New York, too, actually. We're in New York.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They, she actually has a page like we do. It's called Ella's Grace.
Okay.
It's on Facebook.
Okay, Ella's Grace. Okay, it's on Facebook. Okay.
Yep, and it's a public page.
Okay,
she does a lot of awareness stuff too. Yeah, and you know, with the leaking of fluid, like we deal with that a lot with Weston, and we've done the biofeedback therapy, we've also done intrasphincturic Botox injections for that.
Okay.
The intrasphincturic Botox injections were extremely helpful. We did 4 rounds of those.
Really?
But then they said we can't do them anymore. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, we had it in the stomach, and then they stopped doing it too, and I don't know why.
Yeah. And so those really helped along with the biofeedback therapy. And
okay.
We've actually just finished up his 3rd round of biofeedback therapy, and we did like 20-some visits each time. So when we first started, we went 3 times a week, and then we bumped it down to 1 time a week. And the biofeedback therapy at first really seemed to help, but that was in conjunction with the Botox.
Yeah.
So, like, now we haven't done the Botox in over a year.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's been about 9 months. And we're still doing the biofeedback therapy, but it doesn't seem to be helping as much as it did as when we did it along with the Botox.
Yeah. Okay.
But he has that, another word for the rectal dysmotility is dyssynergic defecation.
Yep. That's what somebody, we just went to see a local GI doctor, just not a specialist in motility, but just a local one who's affiliated with Columbia Presbyterian, because Columbia Presbyterian has now been, they're now actually have a motility center for pediatrics, which they never did. It's like new that they have that, because it used to be you had to go to Boston or Philadelphia.
Right.
And they now have just started one. They've been expanding one, and I, because all of a sudden I was Googling,
that's
and I was
amazing.
Like, wait, they have one? What happened? And so they have one now, and I'm like, finally, you know? So we went to this person, because I'm sort of in the feeling where I almost feel like I need a fresh set of eyes to look at him, like somebody who's not in the weeds, but somebody who can kind of get back out and be like, okay, let me take a look at this kid, and also just being closer to home. I mean, for, you know, Boston, while it's only 3 hours, is, you know, my daughter's 13, and it's like, what do you do? You know, it's disruptive for everybody, and I feel like it stresses everybody out, because it's like, oh, if we have to go to Boston, well, that means something's really wrong, and then my daughter gets a lot of anxiety, and
patient George
so,
Bruce.
But I just think that I just think she's the one who made the comment about that, the dyssynergia, like you said, and you know, and so I just, you know, and the biggest thing too is I think everybody knows too, like, you just need a doctor who can talk to you. It's really hard when you feel like you have all these questions and you get, there's no time and to talk to the doctor, and there's no time to sort of say, hey, but yeah, I hear what you're saying, but could you explain to me, like, why that's the case? Or, like, well, okay, can you explain to me why this test was okay and this one wasn't? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And as a parent, you just want that. You just want somebody to, like, you know, listen to you for a minute.
Yeah,
and
you
not.
So
that's, you know.
Oh, someone
so,
from the place is trying to reach me. I keep saying hello. No one says anything.
Hold on a minute.
Really
we're hearing somebody. We're hearing somebody's personal conversation.
What?
Yeah,
so,
somebody's got like they're telling somebody like, can you hear me? And they're asking about being paid. Could you put it on mute?
So I'm going to see who that is. I got the person. Okay, good. So if you try to ask a question and not seem to get in, it's because temporarily I muted that so that we can. Yeah, everybody can hear us now. Correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I wanted to just talk a little bit about the gastroparesis and the emptying test.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Hear how many patients say, and rightly so, that they're so frustrated because they've been diagnosed with gastroparesis, and they go to have a retest, comes back perfectly normal. Then years down the road, they may go again, it may be normal, and then years down the road, they go again, and it's abnormal.
Yeah.
And one doctor explained is that's just a snippet.
I read that. Yeah, it's a snippet in time.
Right, exactly. So if that patient is not in an exacerbated mode, it may not show. Furthermore,
exactly.
The standard is 4 hours, but some people just use an egg. Some people use egg and toast. Some people use solids plus liquid. And so that part, there's inconsistency about that, and that's frustrating as well.
That's the thing, too, because, like, I feel like we had one where they had us bring our eggs, whereas I know the other places they'll make the egg for you with the isotope in it. Ours, they had me bring the scrambled eggs already cooked, and then they added it. But also, they really didn't have a standardized amount for him to eat. They were just like, oh, he should just have whatever he wants. Like, I felt like it was, how do you know? Like, if he barely eats anything, of course it's going to kind of, like, not bother him. But if you had forced him to eat a larger amount and the toast and whatever, it may have been a problem. And I guess what's hard is, like, when doctors, like you said, like, if it's a snippet in time, rather than them saying, like, this is a snippet in time, like, but let's keep watching the symptoms, when they say, okay, it's gone, you're like, okay, I'm not sure that's true, you know, and you don't want to be viewed as somebody who's just a negative, you know, it's like I feel like I get viewed as like the negative mom who just is looking for a problem. And I'm not, I'm just skeptical because I still see the symptoms. It'd be one thing if I saw a symptom-free child and you give me a negative test and I'd say, great, but I'm still seeing symptoms and then you give me a negative test and it's like, well, but this doesn't help me.
Right, exactly. And that one, that is so characteristic of countless patients of all ages who endure that, and the fact that not only is it deficit, but some patients are affected only by liquids, some only by solids, and some a combination of both. A combination of both. So, you know, it just depends. And if he's really backed up at that moment, and I have found that a lot of patients who do have either gastroparesis, just totally gastroparesis, end up getting reflux, or they end up getting constipation, whatever it may be, in the intestinal tract. Like you said, it's like plumbing. And if the stomach isn't working properly or the esophagus isn't working properly, it's all going to have...
It's all connected,
And as far as acupuncture is concerned, now I am an adult patient. I have tried all different types. I never realized there were so many types, including the seed and also the laser.
Yeah.
My body reacted very violently.
That's right. I remember you telling us that.
Each and every one, but that does not deter me from suggesting to others to give it a go because it's so individual in nature.
Yeah.
Carrie, did you want to jump in with something?
I was just going to say that from a lot of stuff that I've read and, you know, talking to other moms and stuff, a lot of the gastroparesis symptoms can come and go. So
Yes, they do. They totally do.
I feel like the test could be, like, when his symptoms are really high, if you did the test then maybe it would show something. And then if his symptoms are really low, then you do the test and it doesn't show anything.
Yeah. You know? Well, and you can't get into the doctor, and it's like, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say a lot of the motility disorders, you know, whether it has to do with the rectum, the colon, the stomach, the esophagus, you know, whatever, a lot of them overlap.
Yeah.
They really do.
And
they absolutely do.
You know, and
I know in my particular case, again, mine started out with chronic idiopathic intestinal tract obstruction, but it now has encompassed the entire digestive tract.
Yeah, because it spreads. It's like.
Yep, and that was one of the questions when I was early on diagnosed. Well, it took 5 years, but it's many years since I was diagnosed, and I asked, will this progress? If they even remove part of my intestinal tract, can you guarantee this will not progress, or will I be better? There were no guarantees. I opted not to have the surgery, but it certainly has progressed. So, anybody else have a question or want to jump into the conversation? No.
I have something that's totally different if nobody else has something to bring up that I thought might be worth mentioning at this parent forum.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to take time if somebody else has something.
Oh, everybody's quiet so far. So.
Okay. So my daughter, who's 13, has been really struggling with her brother. And, like, recently, you know, she used to always be kind of quiet about it. Keep it to herself. You know, we did end up seeing that it came out as anxiety. And so she sees somebody and, like, you know, she ended up being diagnosed with a true anxiety disorder, and we have her on medication now, and we're still trying to work through it. But a lot of it is just that her entire life has been us having a sick brother, you know, and it's the stress of it. And it's very hard, and no matter how much we try to stay calm or we try to, you know, it's she can't help but see her brother in pain and worry. And but she recently, you know, was so frustrated because kids at school didn't understand, and they were kind of like, oh, what's the big deal? So he'll be fine, you know, whatever. And so she was going to set up an Instagram account for, like, you know, which there's other ones out there too, but she wanted, like, a go green for GP. But one thing I was saying to her is, like, if she could channel her frustration and her energy into something maybe for siblings, you know. And I just throw it out there, you know, Mary Angela, if you know of anybody that's come across or whatever, if there's other people who have siblings who, you know, especially if they're a little bit older and are maybe could be on something like, you know, like an Instagram or some kind of closed chat room account or some kind of, or they have their own phone session or something, I wonder if it would be helpful, because I feel like it's a really tough position to be in, to be the sibling.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about that before. Now, I know some of you may have known Brittany. She was an instrumental volunteer within this organization. And we had plans to implement that along with the teens and children, the pediatric, so kids could talk with other kids. Unfortunately, she unexpectedly passed away. But we still have that in the plan. So having this organization as a forum to meet the needs, we're working on that. And certainly,
well, if you need something, my daughter would be interested. So, I mean, she's 13, and she would definitely be interested. And I think it would really help her to feel connected to other people. Like she, there was a girl, Christina, who's a patient who came to the conference a few years ago, and Laura's tried to reconnect with her, and we keep not getting any responses. And, you know, but she had really enjoyed talking with Christina, because even though Christina wasn't a sibling, it just helped to talk to somebody who knew about this stuff, and it wasn't like trying to talk to a friend who was like, what are you talking about? But I feel like if they can have a sense, too, of sort of the fact that they can talk to each other, but also the fact that, like, they could do something maybe to help. They don't feel so powerless over this thing that just keeps, that affects their life, you know. And part of us trying to find a doctor in New York is because every time we have to go to Boston, you know, it I think for her it's just like, oh, my God, okay, if you're going to Boston, that means it's worse again. And no matter how much we say, well, that's where the doctor is, we just have to check in, it has such an effect on her. So we're feeling like if we can find, you know, if we can find somebody who's just as good here and not have to make it such a, disruption where she can go to school. I can drive to New York in the morning and, that would be better. But I just throw it out there in case you do need, if you're looking for that or if you want, if any kid, she would definitely be interested.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's the other really nice, I don't remember the girl's name. I sat next to her. She was a younger girl and she was on, she was on feeding stuff and she was really, really skinny. But her sister was there at the conference a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And I can't remember her name. And I know the girl had like her own blog page.
Her
sister was really, really sweet. And I think her sister would be somebody who would also possibly be interested in. Like, I remember she said to me at the time, like, Laura could always reach out to her or call her because she knows what it's like to be the sibling and grow up with it. And
yeah, definitely. That girl, I think her name is Sarah. I'm connected.
Yes, that's the name. No, that's the name. Yeah, that sounds right.
She has been through so much since that conference.
Mm.
So I had even wanted her to do some volunteering.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, she's doing a lot better now, but it's been a real long journey. She was in the hospital.
I'm so sorry.
Her story is traumatic in itself. So I will reach out to them and see if now that things are a little bit calmer.
Yeah, well, I don't want to put a burden. I just remember she was somebody who was very wanting to talk to Laura and very open to seeming like she had been through a lot herself and was clearly supportive of her sister, but understood as well the burden it feels to be the well child and what that means for you in terms of also feeling like you have to make it better for your parents or be the good kid or, or don't cause a problem or, there's all these things that come with it. And so, okay, well, that's fantastic. But just, reach out to me if you, separately if you need anything.
Definitely will. Carrie, did you want to talk about how your children react with Winston?
Well, that's what I was just going to tell Julie. This is Carrie,
yeah.
And my son will be 14 next month. My oldest.
Oh, my daughter's 13.
Have,
okay.
Yeah. And he, he struggles with it a little bit, but he's a boy, so I don't know. Boys, I feel like
they do
really
end up
tough
terrible.
About it, and
yeah,
and my husband's a lot like that too. But Weston or Braxton has, he passes out bracelets at school, and like all his friends wear bracelets, and for Weston, and he's really helpful. Like one minute, he's kind of like, oh, he's fine, and then the next minute, like today we have to leave for Ohio, and so it'll be different, but Weston and I won't be home when he gets home from school. And, so if Mary Angela, if you do anything, like he is on Instagram and Snapchat and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you do anything like that for siblings, let me know. He would probably be interested in that as well.
Okay. It's not
because my daughter's like 13
whether,
and a half. So
if it's not whether I will, it will be done. So
yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
But,
and he's
going to try to meet it. Yeah. Go ahead.
He's not. He doesn't really seem to get anxious about it or, like the one day I had to, Weston was vomiting, undigested food, like he couldn't keep anything down. And this was just about a month and a half ago. And the home, our home hospital, which is not where his colorectal team is, we have to drive about 2 hours to that. But we went to the home hospital because I took him into the doctor and I'm like, he's throwing up, like he won't stop throwing up. His stomach hurts so bad. And I'm like, I'm really hoping it's the flu. And they're like, what? And I'm like, well, because, if it's not the flu, then stuff is backing up more. So his primary doctor is like, go into Sparrow, get an x-ray done. Well, we did that. They called us back like 2 hours later and said, get straight down to Mott's, which is 2 hours away. They said, get down there. He has ileus. He has, the way to obstruction. So I'm rushing and my oldest son called me, well, can I go to so-and-so's house? And I'm like, buddy, you got to call dad. Like, I cannot deal with this right now. We're on our way to Ann Arbor. It was a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Like, I have to go. And he's like, well, what? Like, and he got really mad and, didn't understand. So then once dad got home and explained, this is what's happening and it's kind of an emergency situation, at first he's just like, well, he'll be fine. He's thrown up before, So he kind of downplays it a little bit sometimes. I guess it just depends the situation. But he, you know, we went down there, and once we got down to Mott's and they did another x-ray, they're like, nope, it's not, you know, it's not ileus, it's not this, he's just full again. And so I have two conflicting x-rays, and I finally asked his colorectal team, I'm like, who reads these x-rays? Like, is it GI? Is it someone in colorectal? Oh, no, they're just random Joe Blow radiologists. And I'm like, so they don't even know what they're looking at or what they're looking for.
Yeah.
So that's
it's like people for breast cancer. You need a special person who only looks at breast x-rays.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, this radiologist here in Lansing is telling us that, you know, he has ileus. You need to get him there now. He has pseudo obstruction or pseudo obstruction. You have to get him there now. Yeah. And then we get down there and they're like, well, we read it differently, and there's no obstruction. There's no obstruction. And I'm like, well, I know there's not, like, a physical obstruction. Like, I know there's not a quarter in there. I get that. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean it's moving.
So. No,
but,
it's just, and I think the kids take it. I mean, I think Laura has taken it other times differently, but it's just, it's recently. Like, she used to just take so much in stride, and I think recently what we're learning is that she's also really, it's not a good thing, learning to just stuff it down and not show her emotion.
Yeah.
And kind of be able to turn off. And it's one of the things, like, where I recently read it in a text, because she knows her phone is the kind of thing that we get to check it, and that's just because you're a kid and that's we're watching out for you. And, you know, I saw her the other day recently say to somebody, like, you know, don't worry about me, like, I'll be fine. I've gotten really good at just shutting down. And I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But she has, I think, to cope, then, you know, that's what she does. You know, she goes into shutdown mode. And so, anyway, just like an outlet. But I think, yeah, it's hard. It's hard for these kids, you know.
Yeah.
And you want to give them just as much attention, and they feel like their sibling gets so much attention. And
That's what I was just going to say. My son has the oldest, Braxton. He has a couple times, well, you treat Weston so much different than me. And it's like, well, first of all, he's seven.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
that's
have
how, it's interesting. That's how old, that's how old Harry is. Harry's seven.
Oh, that's so funny.
And
yeah,
Laura's
seven,
like 13 and a half. Yeah. She's a February birthday, so she turned.
Okay.
Yeah, she's February, so she's like an old, you know, she's, they would really definitely have a lot in common.
Yes, and, you know, they're very close in age, both of them, and, you know, he just, sometimes he's, well, you just treat him so different, and I'm like, well, it's not that I'm treating him differently because his stomach, like, I'm treating him differently because he's 7 and you're 14.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, there's a huge difference there, you know, I expect more from you because you're 7 years older, you know, it's not because of his stomach stuff, it's because you're older and you know better than, you know, to do this or fight with your brother or punch him or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but he does, you know, kind of close a lot of it in. And unfortunately, my husband is that way about a lot of things, not just this, but
I remember that from prior conversations. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember you telling on other calls talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's hard. It must leave you feeling very alone, you know.
It has, and you know, I've tried to work through some of it, and you know, counseling and whatnot. But my husband refuses to do that. You know, do family counseling. Like I'm in counseling. Weston's in counseling. And if I need to, I will with Braxton. But my husband, you know, he did counseling twice for himself. And then was like, oh, my counselor said I don't need it. I'm fine. And I'm like,
okay. I have one of those.
Whatever.
I have one of those.
I'm like, did you tell him anything? Like, did you say anything to this guy? Because if he really knew everything that was going on, I don't think he would tell you you were fine. You know?
No, I mean, I have one of those, and he'll go with me. But he wouldn't go by himself. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd go with me if it's like, oh, I'll support you because of your issues. But it's not his issues, you know.
See, mine won't do that. I wish he would go with me. I'd ask him to go with me, but he will not. So,
Well, you can only do what you can control, you know.
And it just, you know, I just hate the fact that, you know, if you don't for anybody, and I think guys tend to do it a little more than girls or women, but you just, he's kind of the mindset, like, if you don't talk about it, it's not happening.
Yeah,
That's not a thing. Like, it's still happening, even though you're not seeing it, not talking about it. It's all still happening, you know.
I more get, like, why do you have to be so negative? You know, can't we just...
Right, yeah.
You know, and... Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to get it out and emote, and then I'll feel better. Like, if you just let me emote and don't see it as me being negative, we'd move past it and we'd be fine. But I just need that few minutes to say, I hate this. This was, my husband travels a lot, so he's gone, which is going to be changing because it's killing, like, it's just taking a toll, the family, our marriage, everything. But he's gone, you know, three weeks out of four every month. And and so the burden is falling on, like, last year he traveled like 27, 28 weeks out of the year, for like full weeks. And it's just killing us. We've been doing this for 2 years now, and we're kind of at the point where, like, I'm sort of like, okay, you either get a new job or a new wife. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, it's not working. So the burden of Harry and Laura's anxiety falls on me. And so when he comes home, it's like, I just need somebody to be like, here's how it sucked this week, you know? I just need to, and he kind of feels like, here it is, I just came home and all you can do is tell me the negative. And it's like, no, just let me emote. Let me just get it out. You tell me, like, you don't even have to say anything. You just listen, and then we can move on with our weekend. But that's our biggest stumbling block, is he'll be like, I'm home. I'm excited to see everybody. Can't we just have a good time? And it's like, you know, let me tell you what you missed this week.
Oh, yeah, we've been there. Yep. And we, you know, and we see each other every day, and he still is that way, you know, like he'll come home and he'll want me to ask him, like, hey, how was your day and stuff? And then, like, he doesn't ask me, so I just start to tell him, and he's like, well, I don't want to hear that you're mad about this or mad about that. And I'm like, well, I'm not mad. I'm just trying to, like,
share my feelings.
How I'm feeling. Yeah. And he doesn't. He doesn't really like that.
I have one of those too. That's why these calls are so great, because we can share our feelings and be heard and not be told that we're just focusing on all the problems and you know. So thank you, Mary Angela, for I was so excited. I feel like I hadn't seen one in a little while, or maybe I just missed the emails, but I was so happy when I saw it, and then when my schedule opened up, because I have to go to the doctor's instead for Harry, I was like, oh, I can make it. So thank you.
Yeah. I agree. We need these calls.
Yes. Did anyone else with the strep though, does anybody else notice that things like strep or antibiotics totally throw their kids off? Like, does it give them a setback or?
I haven't had to deal really with strep. My oldest used to get strep all the time, but Weston really hasn't. But we did have he did have H. pylori, which is an intestinal infection. He had that, oh gosh, probably 8 months ago now. And we had to do he has GERD, so he was on one of them, and he's tried multiple. But he was on that, and he had to be on two antibiotics along with that heartburn medicine to rid the H. pylori. So they kept telling me, all his doctors are like, well, you know, because it's a double antibiotic for 10 days, like, he's probably going to get diarrhea and probably going to, you know, have stomach cramps. It did nothing. Like, I mean, it got rid of the H. pylori, but it didn't give him stomach cramps. It did not cause diarrhea. It was just normal.
Okay. You know, I just found it. I'm interested to see what happens this time, because I found it really just fed us back. And luckily, the naturopath actually put him on a better probiotic while he was on it. She got him, like, a special probiotic that's specific for being on an antibiotic. It was, like, some blend that was different than just, like, so she got him on that while he was on the antibiotic to try to really counteract it killing the flora. And I think it actually, even though when we did it last time, we did it post the antibiotic. It was like when I was like, okay, system's like, she's like, I know it's supposed to be while he's on the antibiotic, but she's like, let's try it for a month, you know, like, and it did, it turned it around. So this time I'm going to be able to, since I see her tomorrow, and I'll be like, okay, give us the one for the antibiotic, and maybe we can get ahead of it.
You can get that small, it's SIBO, I think it's
Yeah, we have that, SIBO, yep,
here,
and, we,
oh,
and he has
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's actually how we found out. That was our first smoking gun of when we even found out that we had anything, because up until SIBO diagnosis, everybody kept saying there was nothing wrong, nothing wrong, nothing wrong, can't find anything, everything's normal. And then when they finally found the SIBO, the doctor who found the SIBO said, oh, well, he has SIBO, okay, you know, whatever. And I was like, but why does he have SIBO? And that was when we finally went to Boston, and Dr. Flores was like, you only have SIBO, like, if two things, anatomically something's not right, or motility. Like, those are the only two reasons you would have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, be, you know, so that was our final, like, that was the clue that finally, like, allowed people to go towards finding something, like, oh, there is something wrong.
Right.
But, you know. So, well, I just can't tell you how glad I am to be able to have got on this call today, and how much this just helps. And so, thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Because you feel like you're going crazy sometimes, you know, like just hearing that, like that you have somebody that you know that the gastroparesis was the colonic dysmotility, because that's been my theory. Like, you know, to hear that somebody else like has that, and Mary Angela, for you to say like, you know, like. Sometimes the test is positive and sometimes it's not, and it's you know, sometimes it's just where you got it in a place and time. You know, all these things just help, because you feel sometimes like, you know, you feel like you're crazy because you feel like the doctors tell you, like, it's fine, don't stop worrying. And then, you know, and you feel like, you know, you tell your friends or whatever, like, oh, the test was normal, and they're like, great, fantastic, he's all better. Like, you know, and you're like, you don't want to say it, you don't want to sound like you're just Debbie Downer, who's like really not taking anybody's word for it, you know, and
right.
But you have that suspicion and that nagging in the back of your mind that's like, I don't know, you know.
Yep, exactly. Is Mary Angela there?
I don't know. I feel like she left.
Or
she muted herself.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I should. I know you're on Facebook. I've seen it sometime. I'll send you like an email sometime so you know how to connect with me.